Hello, everybody. It's Liz here reading the poetry. Now, as Stoke is 100 years old as a city, it was 100 years old on Thursday, and we celebrated in the rain on Saturday. I've picked two poets, both local. Alan Barnett, I'm not sure when he was born, but he's still alive. And Geoffrey Wainwright, who was born in 1944 in Longton. So I'm going to start with Alan Barnett. So we've got a bit of nostalgic poetry all about Stoke. And the first one, anyone as old as me, I wasn't in Stoke when I was young, but I was in the Birmingham area, and we had a lot of this fog. So, and I know they had a lot of fog in, well, probably even more here because of all your pot banks belting out the smoke. So fog. I hear nothing, see nothing, my hands outstretched before me to touch, but touching nothing. The fog has descended and stretches like a large grey blanket before me, stifling sounds and covering those all familiar sights. A strange kind of peace prevails, quietness like no other, perfect peace. Ghostly, almost heavenly, the fog lifts. We return to the normality of sights and sounds. I pray for the return of silence. The best of days. Playing footy in the park, play on until already dark. After school, we'd all climb trees, often fall and hurt our knees. The world, our playground, so immense, with rough and tumble innocence. Sticks for guns and bows and swords, we'd be warriors and lords. A bike for Christmas, what a treat, proficiency, now steered by feet, growing up, for us too fast, time to look back at the past, no trouble caused, no damage done, but battles fought and wars were won, bonfires built and campfires glowed, our memories of youth were sowed, remember now what fun we had, when I was just a pottery's lad. Oops, sorry, I'm now turning the page. And then my last poem by Alan Barnett, All Done in Red. He sits at no particular time of day, unkempt, unshaven, propped against the nearest wall, pen in hand, scrawling the next chapter in his life, written in red ink. An inventory of danger signs. The street is office, and a well-worn carrier bag housing his few possessions. I do not approach, for he does not favour an audience. What does he write? And what does his pen remember? The memories of youth or the downward spiral of maturity? A life, his life, at his fingertips, all done in red. So that was Alan Barnett. His poetry book is called Sundays, Oatcakes and Pericomo. I have read from him before, but not those. And now my next one, it's a long poem by Geoffrey Wainwright. He was born in Stoke-on-Trent in Longton in 1944, educated locally and then went to university at Leeds and subsequently worked for Manchester Met University. And he lives with his wife in Manchester, and for parts of the year in Umbria and New South Wales. I presume he's still alive. That's the information I've got. So, Pieces of Coal. The whole poem is called Pieces of Coal, but there are subheadings. Sorry. New Year. Just now, on New Year's Eve, I could not source a lump of coal. 2020 has no use for such stuff. Not even a fist-sized chunk of the kind that might once have been picked off the pit heap by a 9-year-old boy kept off from school. 100 years ago it got everywhere. The home fires of Berlin, the locomotives by the Nile, Lisbon's town gas, Sweden's ironworks, the abattoirs of Argentina, our coal, our good luck that we could ship it so easy to the sea, and everywhere at home, a load tipped in the entry as the colliers rationed shovelled into fireboxes across the nation. Briquettes lit by a gas poker, coal gas, of course. and in 50 years it is nowhere. Fingernails and town halls are scrubbed clean, tips greened into leisure walks, the coal house now storage for any old thing. A piece of coal, a metonym for fuel, for warmth, for food. And how we need that as the first footer knows from his first 5 minutes in the cold. Who's the lucky lad? Florence. A million tonner the year it was shut, Florence Pit stood at the end of our street. I never knew that it was named for this solemn aristocratic girl, daughter of the third Duke, though it was he who labelled the whole neighbourhood. Lennox, Hamilton, Bukeley, Rothsay, as well as Florence Primary, with its stubby tower, slightly Italianate, a totem for the solid terraces, Leveson, Gower, Blantyre and St. Clair. Nowhere in her fixes of albumen and silver does Florence look content. The white cat in her lap, probably more a prop than a pet. The watercolour retriever, only a temporary friend. Not for her to guest as a gutsy coal queen at the miners' picnic. She was dead at 26 of her third childbed. A bloody mess, no doubt, not unlike the accidental agony by then familiar in her father's chambers deep below the doomed pilasters of Barry's Trentham Hall. Sutherland Streets. Sutherland Streets have never deserved clearance. His cottage hospital, where I was safely born, is still well laundered. His local library and respected institute, a sore thumb 3 stories grand, whose art school windows shimmer above the banded brick, and handsome terracotta frieze of busy potters, all of it symmetrical, confident, pensioned. Here my father took me one Saturday afternoon to get my first library card, and thereby started something. Thank you, Gilbert Dalton, A. Stephen Tring, Richard Compton, and thank you for the hush, the polish, and all the pages turned. Hearth. I learned to make the fire in our grate. Newspaper, sticks, coal pieces smaller than my hand, and as the yellow flame took hold, larger pieces laid, so as to leave the passages for draught, until our little hearth could cast out warmth enough to last the evening through, banking it with slack, so its slower burn would leave some heat about the room for morning. And so in every house like this, thankful for coal's precious shine, its smoke of welcome, habitation, life. This was the time we knew the glucose character of phlegm, the smoke's particular sludge hawked up and blown expertly at a sullen coal. The stuff of dust disease drooling from old men's lips as they stopped to lean against a wall. And still, the lazy smoke and gentle heat rises through cooling towers, furnaces and flues to coddle the planet in its fatal shawl. So there's Geoffrey Wainwright looking nostalgically back to when people had their lungs full of phlegm from the coal dust and coal. And I have to tell him, if he's, well, I presume he's still alive, if he does want a lump of coal on New Year's Eve, he'd be all right because I still burn it and light it just like he described there with his sticks and his newspaper and his little lumps of coal and then his big lumps. But my lump doesn't come from Stoke. My lump of coal comes from I don't dare ask where. But I'm one of the last. It is smokeless, I should say. And that's my poetry for this week.